You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Sergeant and Mrs. Smith, you're going to love this house.
Is that a tub in the kitchen?
There's no field manual for finding the right home. But when you do, USAA Homeowners Insurance can help protect it the right way. Restrictions apply.
Welcome to Leading Off with True Blue LA. I'm your host, Eric Steven. With me today is my co-host, Jacob Birch, because we have a Dodgers rewind for you. Jacob, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm still waiting for Dodgers forward, which, ooh. I mean, I say that more jokingly. I guess that could be like a prospect show, but I'm talking literally we just make up the Major League roster of 2062.
Like, you know, or yeah, we just say like, you know, like Schmendrick Padilla is going to be like the shortstop in 2059 or whatever. I'm down. That's a 2020. Speaking of forward, that's a 2023 podcast.
Yeah.
On the True Blue LA Podcast Network. Subscribe. Anyway, today we are looking back at a pitcher named Johnny Rutherford. He only pitched 1 year in the majors. It was in 1952 with Brooklyn. I will pull the curtain back a little bit because here's how I landed on Johnny Rutherford for this week's rewind. So the Dodgers are, as we record this on Wednesday night, I'll just say it. They're 49-25 on the road this year with seven road games remaining, including the one we're watching. They will almost certainly finish with the most road wins in a season in franchise history. The only two Dodgers teams that had 50 road wins in a season were 1952 in Brooklyn. They were 51-24. And 1974 were 50-31. Both teams made the World Series. I don't remember what happened after that. The 1952 Brooklyn team, well, it's going to remain as the top full season road winning percentage. They were 680. Even if the Dodgers went out on the road, I think they're like, it's like 679 something. I forgot what it is, but it's not quite the same. So that we're also putting aside for a moment that the shortened 2020 season, which was only 60 games long, so 30 road games. The Dodgers were 22-8 on the road that year, 733, which is, again, ridiculous. So I was concerned about Brooklyn having only played 75 road games that year rather than 77, which is the normal allotment for 154 game schedule, and I found out why. Turns out on September 1st they were supposed to play a doubleheader in Philadelphia against the Phillies. It was rained out and they couldn't make it up apparently in Philadelphia, but they did on September 23rd and 24th in Brooklyn. So the Dodgers that year, they also had like, they were short a home game too, so they played 78 home games and 75 road games. But Johnny Rutherford started the first of those two makeup games. So before we get into who Rutherford was, I will give you a little bit of story and ask you a trivia question.
Oh.
Rutherford with the Dodgers in 1952, pitched four complete games, and he saved two games. Now, this is really only retroactively because saves weren't an official stat until 1969. 12 times has a Dodger had at least four complete games and two saves in a season since. Who was the last one, and how many can you name?
The first one, I at least maybe, but you know, I'll humor you.
Sure, I'll give you some hints. Like, I think we'll do that. But back to Rutherford for a second. So he signed with the Dodgers in 1947 out of Detroit Mercy, and he pitched 5 years in the minors before making his debut. Only 7 games in his first year in the minors, 1947. But over the next 4 years, he averaged 191 innings, 13 wins, and a 2.83 ERA. He made the All-Star team in AAA with St. Paul in 1951. So that earned him a spot on the team in 1952, at least early in the season. I couldn't find if he actually made the team out of spring training. But also in the minors in 1950, found this in his obituary in 2016. In AA Fort Worth, Rutherford married his wife, Martha. Per his obituary, the wedding was, quote, under the lights of a night game, walking down an aisle of baseball bats held by his team, the pastor at home plate. So sort of the traditional, I'm trying to think, like, do they do this? Did they literally do it, like, before a night game so there's, like, fans in the stands and stuff like that? I guess they probably did. I don't know. Like, that's neat. So anyway. In 52 with the Dodgers, his first 11 games that year came in relief. His last 11 came as a starter, hence the aforementioned complete games and saves situation. He joined the rotation on July 31st, and that's when he basically started. So 4.25 ERA, it was an 86 ERA plus. This note from Baseball Reference, I sort of enjoyed their wordplay here, or at least the way they phrased it. Rutherford's final statistics for that season are a numerologist delight. Used as a spot starter and reliever for the National League champions, he had a record of 7-7 in 22 games, going 5-5 as a starter and 2-2 out of the bullpen. He gave up 97 base hits in 97 innings, and he struck out 29 and walked 29. So, yeah, he sort of matched everything. We'll talk about the game that sort of brought us here after the break.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
So the Dodgers played a three-game series at home against the Phillies at Ebbets Field over 2 days. Two of those were makeup games from the earlier rained-out games in Philly. It was a doubleheader on September 23rd. So entering the day, the Dodgers led the Giants by 6 games with 6 games to play. The lead was 9 at the beginning of September, and then it shrunk to 3 as late as September 17th. And you got to remember, this is 1 year after Brooklyn collapsed and famously lost a pennant to the Giants, including a three-game tiebreaker, which they led in Game 3, and then Bobby Thompson hit the shot heard around the world, et cetera, et cetera. So they needed another win to at least avoid a tiebreaker and then sort of put this to bed. So in this game, the Dodgers led early. Jackie Robinson doubled home Duke Snider. Rutherford did give up a grand slam in the third to one of the best baseball names I've ever seen, Granny Hamner. His name is Granville Wilbur Hamner. And with a name like that, it seems like he would have to be like a hulking guy. He was like normal size. He was also a middle infielder. He did make 3 All-Star teams. Rutherford did stay in the game after the grand slam. And he really only, I think he only allowed three hits the rest of the way and I think a walk. He did end up pitching a complete game, one of his four. He had a key double play in the eighth that helped erase two earlier singles in the inning, or one of them at least. So Rutherford got the win in the game that clinched the pennant for the Dodgers, so that's cool. Rutherford was listed at 5'10 and 170 pounds, but the AP game story referred to him as Little Johnny Rutherford, who wasn't on the spring roster. Rutherford actually singled twice in this game as well, and he scored one. He scored once in the game the Dodgers won 5-4. The run didn't come after either of the singles, though. It was a fifth inning sacrifice bunt that allowed Rutherford to reach base on an error by first baseman Eddie Waitkus. He scored on a single by Pee Wee Reese that pulled the Dodgers to within one, and then Duke Snider doubled home two to give the Dodgers the lead for good. So Rutherford pitched once in the 1952 World Series. He entered in the eighth inning of game four. The Dodgers led the series 2-1, but they trailed in this game 1-0. He gave up a triple right away to Mickey Mantle to start the inning, and Pee Wee Reese tried to relay throw to third, and it was errant, so Mantle scored. So the Dodgers lost that game 2-0. They did win the next day. They led that series 3-2, going back home to Brooklyn, needing to win only one to win their first World Series, but they didn't. Yankees won in seven. I would, of all the losses, the World Series losses to the Yankees, this was probably the most heartbreaking, at least, like, because you have two games at home, you just have to win one. Like, although, I don't know, that had to be super frustrating for them. But anyway, back to Rutherford. So, four complete games, two saves, only 12 times since Rutherford has a Dodger done this. And who do you think was the last? Or you can go any order. You can go, you want to go like people since.
Four him, complete like, games is a lot in the modern era. And that's why I'm curious. I'm kind of want to know what a year. Give me a year. What's the most recent year?
1988.
Cool. when I was two. Was it Oral?
So I will tell you, Oral did save one game that year.
Okay.
But he fell just short. He completed 15 games.
So are we talking, this is in a season?
In a season.
No reason, as you talk about it, I had this as just in a career.
Yeah.
Oh boy. I guess I'll throw out more names. Hoyt Wilhelm, did he? Yeah. Yeah.
No, because he was full relief by the time he got to the Dodgers.
Wow. This is not a fun question. you and I talked a little before recording. You said I would run into some of these names. I'm less sure.
I would just say my hint to you is, if you think earlier, like closer to Rutherford, starters would be used occasionally in relief.
Okay, so we'll just go through the Koufax.
So Koufax did it twice, 1959 before he was Koufax, I guess. He had six complete games and two saves. He also had a 4.05 ERA that year. And he also did it in 1965, where he had 27 complete games and two saves. He also had the perfect game that year. 26-8 that year. what a ridiculous year.
Drysdale?
Drysdale also did it in 1959 and 1960, both years, 15 complete games, two saves.
Jerry Royce?
Jerry Royce did it twice. You're picking off the multi-guys here. I love it. So 1979, the first year Royce was with the Dodgers, he relieved 18 games that year and started 21. So he had more of a hybrid role, but he saved three games and completed four. 1980 was more entrenched in the rotation, but still occasionally pitched in relief. Pitched no hitter that year, completed 10 games, saved three.
let's go way back.
Wait, but before you guess again, I'm going to retroactively give you Oral, since we're just in the pickoff stage now, because he did do it in 1984, just not in 1988.
Got it.
So he had eight complete games, two saves that year.
Dazzy Vance?
No, remember, this is but actually, I'm looking back to see.
Yeah. I was rereading the question and I did it twice and just skipped over the word since.
No, that's okay. So Dazzy Vance actually did do it in 1928.
Yeah.
24 complete games, two saves. I will tell you, Zach Wheat did not do it.
Oh, that was, but how did you know? I'm going to tap out because my brain is there's a few names that I know as soon as you tell me.
Do you know any other 1988 Dodgers pitchers, like starters?
Fernando.
No, he was hurt most of the year.
Okay. I knew he was hurt for the playoffs, but
I will look out so looking at this, Fernando actually came close that year, 88, even though he was hurt. Three complete games, one save. But our guy from 88, with four saves and four complete games and two game one World Series starter, Tim Belcher.
Okay. Yeah, that was not going to come to my head in my current state. It's late here. So
the other one, so Johnny Rutherford in 1952 did this. Also that year, Ben Wade did it. Carl Erskine did it. Carl Erskine did it again in 53. Johnny Padres in 1957. Danny McDevitt in 1959. How could you have not guessed Danny McDevitt? No, just kidding. And Bob Welch in 1978. So, yeah, it's a fun list. You did well. You did good.
I'm okay. I was nervous that there would be someone like, oh, you don't remember Clayton doing it? Yeah.
Right. I think, I think his saves are only in the postseason.
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so back to Johnny Rutherford for a second. So 52, that ended up being his only year in the majors. So he was mostly in the minors he was in the minors from 53 to 55, but pitched less and less each year. Shoulder injuries cut his career short. He ended up retiring at age 30. It is now when I will tell you that a lot of players used to call him Doc when he was playing. And that's because following his playing days, Rutherford followed in the footsteps of his father, an osteopathic physician in and around Detroit. Rutherford got his medical degree in 1962 from the Kirksville, Missouri Osteopathic College of Osteopathy and Surgery. What a wonderful name. I got that specific piece of information from a 2016 obituary piece on Dodger Insider, written by friend of the show and friend of us, John Wiseman. Rutherford became a doctor with a general practice at the River Rouge Clinic in Dearborn, Michigan. He died on Christmas Day in 2016 at age 91. So Doc, he's actually the, I guess like Moonlight Graham, except he actually played a full year in the majors and ended up being a doctor and sort of beloved community member. So yeah, that's Johnny Rutherford. I hope you enjoyed, today's Dodgers Rewind. I think it was good. That's it for us. We will talk to you tomorrow. Thanks for listening, everybody.